Rain is not a bad thing on Halloween because that means we'll have more people because they want to get out of the rain. It's the truth, and I like it, and that's the way it is. And the reason we haven't taken up the offering yet is a very simple reason. You've seen me do this a couple of times with communion. When we get in the habit, if you will, of doing communion, and we do the thing, and so I've always paused a couple of times, actually, and taught on communion, and then we would do communion, because in all honesty, communion has been taught so wrongly in some areas, especially in the area where it talks about to examine yourself. We have always been taught, I've watched my mother for years not take communion because she didn't deem herself worthy of it. And that's not what that means at all. When you study it out in the original language, what it literally means is to examine the belief system that you have that Jesus did what he did. That's why when you read the whole thing at the end where it says, because we don't discern his body correctly, some of us are weak and sick and die early. It's because we don't discern his body. What does that mean? We don't spend the time to pay attention to him. That's why he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't do this in remembrance of your sorry self. You see what I'm saying? So that's why sometimes you have to teach that. And today I believe this is going to open up your spiritual eyes and hearts to tithing. And let me just say this. I'm talking about tithe, which is 10%. I'm not talking about giving. I'm not talking about sowing and reaping. I'm sick up to my, if I had gills, which I'm not a fish, so I don't, but if I did have gills, I'm sick up to my gills with the teaching that happens concerning giving in the church. I'm tired of people dumping guilt. I'm tired of, you hear what I'm saying? I'm sick of it. But I'm also just as tired, actually this one hurts my heart, to see people who aren't walking in the fullness of who Christ is and Jesus is. And today I'm going to hopefully give you some crazy understanding that you will never view tithe the same way. And I'll say it straight up right now. I'm not talking about Levitical tithe. I'm not talking about what was in the law. That is not what I'm talking about. Hopefully you'll see this. So we're going to walk through this. First, I want to say this. Last week I mentioned the law of first mention, and by the way, I've asked the Lord to simplify this message, because what happens when we start talking about some of these things, like I'm going to talk about Melchizedek, it's like, well, we don't know him. Well, you're right. The Bible doesn't talk about him very much, but I want to simplify things. But one of the things that is interesting to me is there's this thing called the law of first mention, where a word that is first mentioned in the Bible, let me just read it the way I wrote it, because this will make sense. The law of first mention simply means the first time that any important word is mentioned in the Bible, Scripture gives this word its most complete and accurate meaning. In other words, not only to serve as a key to understand the word in the biblical concept, but to provide a foundation for fuller development later on in the Bible. In other words, when an important word first shows up in the Word, that is the foundation of and the build from for everything else. And one of the examples I want to use is this one, just to show you what I'm talking about. And this is one of the laws of first mention. This is the first time that the word grace was mentioned in the Bible. And believe it or not, it's in Genesis, not in the New Testament. And it says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Hello? Verse 6, so the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found grace with the Lord. That's the first time grace shows up. I want you to see that, because therein lies the truth. That very first part, I've told you a ton of times, half the gospel is how bad we are. But the best part is how good he is. So here God was sick and tired, totally meant, but then he looked at Noah and found grace, undeserved merited favor. That's the whole law of first mention. There's many words like that. The first mention of the word tithe is here, and that's why I wanted to say that. This is where it's important, and this is where we go. It's in Genesis. After Abram, who was Abraham, returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer, and all his allies, that was Texan, by the way, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. And Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. That's the first time that a giving of the tenth, the tithe, if you will, is mentioned in Scripture. Here's what I want you to understand. Melchizedek, his name. By the way, you read Hebrew backwards, and I didn't throw up the Hebrew hieroglyphic looking things because we don't understand none of that. But you know from my past teaching that you actually read it backwards. So it would be Zedek Melech. But the word Melech means king. The word Zedek, which is, again, Melchizedek, means righteousness or justice. And shalom, we know what shalom means, right? It means peace. So here's what I want you to see. So this is saying that the king of righteousness and peace brought bread and wine. Now, here is such a humongous picture of Christ right in the beginning of Scripture. I've told you forever, from Genesis to Revelation, it screams of Jesus. It screams of Jesus. And this is the first picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Now watch. Here's what I want you to understand. Communion is our witness that God died. Tithe is our witness that he lives. I'll get there a little bit later. But here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice that Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and peace, blessed Abraham before Abraham gave his money. This is totally contrary to anything that you're going to hear from people who are trying to steal money from you concerning church. Listen to me. God blessed him, proclaimed blessing over him. I'm going to tell you what that word means right here. Blessed him before Abraham ever gave anything. Now, here's what tickles me about people. People who do not tithe look at people who do tithe and say, man, God has blessed them because they tithe. People who tithe, tithe because they recognize they're blessed. Does that make sense? I don't want to stop. In the name of Jesus, I just say no condemnation, guilt, or nothing. It's silly. I'm sick of that. I just can't tell you. I am so wanting to pour the heart of who Jesus is, not only in my life, but in a real true understanding of this thing called tithing. And let's stay right here. So, you know, I told you, notice Melchizedek blessed Abram before. And by the way, the word is Barak, which is like our former president's name, Barak, spelled the same way and everything. And it's the same word that God used when he blessed Noah. Remember, God grace when Noah and them, they did the whole flood thing. And at the end of it, when his sons came off the ark, God said Barak, which literally means, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. That word for blessing there, if it's directed towards God, it's an act of adoration and praise. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. That's what it is. But if it's God directed to man, it's a blessing of benefit, which is to cause to prosper and to make happy. So when God blessed Abram, he was blessing him as a benefit. He was blessing him to prosper him and to make him happy. Abraham hadn't given him a penny. So stop this crazy thinking that you've got to somehow motivate. God's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our money. Do you hear me? Well, then why are you talking about this? So the story carries on into the New Testament. Now, understand, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament's written in Greek. This was after Christ had died. Actually, this New Testament, where I'm going to go to, Christ had already died. So we're now in this dispensation of what's called grace, of Christ already accomplishing everything that he had done on the cross, all right? So in Hebrews, we're going to pick it up in Hebrews chapter 7. Look at this. This is pretty good. Then Abraham, it's the same story. Abraham took a tenth of all that he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. And the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and king of Salem means king of peace. I already said that. It's there too. There is, watch this, this is concerning Melchizedek. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors. There's no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling, that's the Greek word, and it means in the likeness of. So he remains a priest forever in the likeness of God. Remember the last time that was probably said, or at least that I can remember in Scripture, is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they weren't being burned, and it was freaking people out, and one of those guys looked at the king and says, man, there's a fourth one in there that kind of looks like the Son of God. Well, obviously we know who it was. And in my understanding and studying of Scripture, this is quite obvious that Melchizedek, I personally believe, was a pre-incarnate, big word, before Christ came to the earth, before he became man, pre-incarnate, that's who Melchizedek is. Now, but let me just finish this out. So he said, consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Abraham recognized this. Recognized what? The greatness of Melchizedek. The greatness of the King of Righteousness and Peace. Abraham recognized his greatness and gave him 10%. What motivated Abraham to give his 10%? It wasn't the law. The law was 430 years away. It hasn't even come near. What motivated it was seeing the greatness of Melchizedek. Do you see what I'm saying? Tithing, guys, ladies and gentlemen, again, once again, has nothing to do with us. How many times have I said that? It's not about me, it's about him. It's the same thing. When we tithe, when we bring our finances, our 10% to God, we are recognizing the greatness of Jesus, not the duty of the law. I'm telling you right now, tithing is not about obeying the Levitical law. Levitical means Levi law. The Levi law means the law that was brought when Moses got the Ten Commandments and all that. That was the Levitical period, and that's where the Levi priests would take a 10% and they would bring it, and it was given for the Levites to eat, and they blessed it and all this stuff. That's not what this is talking about, and I'm going to show you this very clearly here in a second. So even Abraham saw this greatness in giving this money. So let's keep going. Do I keep going here or no? Did I finish? Even Abraham. Yeah, I did. And he gave it. Yes, I did. Okay, so here's the thing. You heard me talk about, yes, absolutely, tithe protects us from the curse of the ground. That whole message last week. That is the practical side of this thing called tithing, this 10%. The practical side is, and the word's very clear about it, that the ground is cursed. Remember, I shared it last week, and that curse of the ground, Jesus took care of the curse on us, on the cross, but the curse of the ground, of the earth, where everything that's financially comes from, that's where crops come from, which is how we make money, you know what I'm saying, that curse is going to stay until Jesus comes back. It's in Revelation. I shared that last week. So absolutely, it's extremely important for us to understand that it does help. And I even shared the scripture in Romans where he said, and the tithe, because the tithe is holy, it makes the lump, it's like the bread, he says, the lump is holy, it makes the whole rest of it holy, the whole rest of it good, the whole rest of it pure. So yes, 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 1,000 times yes, but ladies and gentlemen, that is not the issue here. That is not the issue here. I mean, and I've taught it a million times, the whole Karam thing, and the truth is, it's truth, but here's what I want you to see. The tithing protects us from the ground. Yes, absolutely. But once again, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Tithing is to show the magnitude of Jesus in our worship and in our praise. That's why tithing is part of worship. That's why we get in this rut of singing some songs and flipping the lights on and taking the tithe and offering up, and then, you know, God bless Christian Center Fort Worth, whoop, we're off to the next thing. Do you hear me? So it's to this great magnitude of Jesus. Now, let's be honest. What does the word magnify mean? It's to increase the size of. You have a magnifying glass. I have one now, by the way, unfortunately. You know, I mean, I can see with reading glasses, but man, sometimes, you know, they talk about that small print. Holy smoky, you better read that small print if you sign in something, I'm telling you. But man, you need this magnifying glass. Not only that, when I have ants in my office, you ever do that as a child? I did. Took the magnifying glass out and fried ants. Did you never do that outside? I did. I'm admitting it. I'm confessing it and I'm believing it. So, yeah, I used to take it and they smell. I have a funny smell when they burn, by the way. Ants do. Now, I left all the uncles alone. Okay. You know, wow, wow. So magnify means to increase the size of, making clearer. Watch. God's blessing doesn't come by obedience to the law of tithing. Hear me. It comes by being impregnated and magnifying the greatness of Jesus. It's the truth. When we recognize and magnify the greatness of Jesus, it's a natural process. You know, it's not even a thing, and we have made it a thing. You know, well, do I tithe on gross or do I tithe on net? Well, you should. If you tithe on net, then you need, when you get your check back from the government, you need to tithe on it. It is so not that, ladies and gentlemen. It's as important as communion to me. It's as important as communion to me. So God's blessing doesn't come by obedience to the law of tithing. It comes by being impregnated and magnifying the greatness of Jesus. Let's keep going in this little Hebrews chapter 7 right here. Look at this. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. Remember Melchizedek, and he blessed him? And this is saying, Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. At that point in life, Abraham hadn't had nothing. He hadn't had Ishmael or Isaac. He hadn't had anything. None of those promises had already been given him. But do you hear what this is saying? God blessed him and blessed him and Abraham, the one who'd already received the promises. Just because God has given us everything that we've ever needed, he's already proclaimed that over us. It's got nothing to do with tithing. He's proclaimed that over us. He's given that over us. He's done that over us. And out of that understanding, here's Abraham who already received. Why? Because he believed. Yeah, you've heard it many times. If you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. If you cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered. It doesn't say that, but I made that one up. So one thing I want you to see too is Melchizedek was not a descendant of Levi. Here's what's so funny. Funny ha-ha. Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. You understand that, right? The Lion of Judah shall break every chain. You got it. He was from the tribe of Judah. So he wasn't from the tribe of Levi either, because Levi was, if you weren't a Levite, if you weren't from the tribe of Levi, there was 12 tribes in the Bible, right? In the Old Testament times under the law, 12 tribes. If you weren't from the tribe of Levi, you weren't a priest, you weren't nothing. You had to be born and be raised. Jesus was never that. Look at this scripture. This is so good. We're moving down 10 verses. So Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirements of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." This is so good to me. Jesus is not in the order of Levi. We have taught forever that he is in the order of Levi because of the way that we've taught about giving and tithing especially. Jesus is from the order of Melchizedek, which Jesus, in my opinion, is Melchizedek. So Jesus is in the order of Jesus. So, what are you saying, Steve? We don't bring our tithe to the Levi priests of the church. You aren't bringing your tithe to Steve Van Zandt, Gabe Van Zandt, or any other leader in this church. You're not bringing it to the church so that the Levi priest can do this. That is not, that just, you're not doing it. Here's what's so fun for me. The first time tithe is mentioned is when it's the closest to the dispensation of grace until the time that Jesus came and died. Why do I say that? Because God said that Abraham was determined to be righteous because of his faith, because of what he believed. Then you go through the law and everything, and then we finally get to the New Testament where it says it's by faith, and by faith, our justification of faith and faith alone. So it wasn't anything that Abraham did other than believe. So that's where this is where we have just, it's because we teach the law. We just teach the law all the time. Oh, it's so refreshing when you understand this. And I kind of want to apologize for not sharing this earlier. I've believed this a long time. I really have. I just haven't shared it with you. So here it is, dumped out there. So watch this. We don't bring our tithe to the Levi priest of the church. We bring our tithe to Jesus, who's our high priest, in worship to him. He is from the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Levi. So, communion we do to remember his death. Every day, almost every day, I have communion in my office. I take the time to do this because it's very important, and I really understand it. And in those times of communion, let me tell you this, especially concerning health for me, in those times of communion that I have with the Lord, where I have those little thingies that you can take the wafer off, and then you open the little drinky-do thing, I have those, and I take that wafer, and I take it, and I say, okay, every chunk of flesh that was ripped out of your back from that cat of nine tails, and every time they slapped you and bruised you and ripped your flesh with the crown of thorns, every time, God, that means that causes my healing, because you said it's your body. This is your body that heals me, and I'll take that, and I'll take the cup, and I'll say, man, even more important than that body is this, because this is my redemption. This is the blood that you shed for the forgiveness of my sins. So I don't have sin anymore. And I get it. And in the midst of it, when I have some health issues on occasion. This week I had a kidney stone. I didn't even know what a kidney stone was. And this is probably a testimony because I've never had one. I didn't feel a thing other than freaked out when it came out. Because it's like, holy moly, what was that? So me being the godly man that I am, man, I'm up on the internet. Okay, Google, help me out here. What in the world was that? You know, and then gosh, and then there's pictures and there's like boulders and, you know, and I'm like, and it wasn't anything like that. But the truth is, and again, this was during a time of communion. After that happens, you will have communion. and man, the Holy Spirit was so tender and so gentle and just began to speak to my heart about the way I was eating, and you were doing good, Steve, and you got kind of off track because, you know, you just were feeling better and giving me, listen, the Holy Spirit's awesome. He'll give you cravings for stuff that you've never craved before, and then you wonder why. Do you understand that I got on there and looked at kidney, because kidney's kind of where that whole thing starts, and there's like seven of the healthiest foods you can eat for kidneys, and I've got five of those in my office and didn't even know it. You know what I'm saying? Apples and grapes. And my thing was, man, I love frozen grapes. I freeze grapes because I don't want to eat chocolate, and you know, I got a sweet tooth because of my mother. It's her bad, I know it is, because she's the same way, 91 years old, and she still could eat a whole cake, and so I got to do something, so I pop it. Well, then I'm reading, it's like, man, grapes are the most awesome thing, and what I'm saying is, rather than just on the first Sunday of every month, we just hammer down communion, I have been doing communion almost every day. And the good thing is I'm not doing it religiously. You get what I mean by that? Because the second we start doing something, it's like, oh man, well then this is working. Stop it. It's not about working. It's about resting in Him, really and truly. Now, I say that so that you understand communion is about His death. I spend time with that. Here's what I wanted you to do today prior to you giving your tithe. And that is this. Communion we do to remember His death. Tithing we do to remember He's alive and His greatness is personified in us. Here's my revelation to you. I'm going to read it just as I wrote it. My revelation on tithe. The prophet receives from God and brings to his people. The prophet, the pastor, the teacher, whoever's standing up here, today it happens to be me. So I receive from God and give to the people, right? The high priest receives from the people and brings it to God, okay? Now stay with me. So while on earth, Jesus was a prophet. They called Him prophet. They called Him teacher. They called Him a lot of bad names too. But He was a prophet teacher, and Jesus literally did receive from God. He prayed all the time and then gave to the people. But now in this covenant of grace, Jesus is our high priest from the order of Melchizedek, receiving from us to give to God. Guys, we come to God for salvation with our hands absolutely empty. Man, I remember the day I was, my Jesus testimony, I was raised in church, I knew all that, but my Jesus testimony is, I was like, God, if You're real, then it's time. That's the truth, because I'd heard it all, read it all, people would quote Scripture at me, and I'd quote more back at them. I knew more Scripture than they did, so they were like messed up then. My hands were absolutely empty. But in our worship, which is what tithe is such a powerful worship, in our worship, our hands are full. Okay? So we come to God for salvation with hands empty. We've got nothing, but we come to Him in worship with full hands. Now, I'm finished here, except for this. This is my throw it in the plate. But I want you to understand is, the same way that I do communion, I do tithe. In my office, I write my tithe check for the following week, just because of my understanding. It's just my personality. For the following week, I write it on Monday, for the following week. So this check I wrote Monday, all right? And it's folded because I fold it and stick it on my desk. I hold in my hand my act of worship to Him. Let's finish out this Hebrews chapter 7. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. Duh. Can't prop up a dead priest and get much done, right? So there were many priests under the old system, but death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, His priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, He is able once and forever to save those who come to God through Him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because He is holy and blameless and unstained by sin. He is holy and blameless. I am unholy and totally blamed. He is sinless. I'm full of sin. Jesus, the one who is holy and blameless and unstained by sin, went to the cross, took all of my ugly sin, pounded into His body. So the one who is perfect and whole and unsinned took my ugly sin so that the one who is full of ugly sin can be viewed as being blameless. That's why I tithe. I realize the greatness of Jesus, Melchizedek. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Here's why I tithe. He declares me righteous, though I am not. My sins are completely and utterly destroyed as far as the east is from the west, not the north to the south. I've said that a billion times here. Because when you start north, ladies and gentlemen, at some point you're going to start going south. North, south, north, south. As far as the north from the south, that's not very far. 1,200 and 12,500 miles, right? Isn't this 25,000 miles the thing of the earth? But he said, as far as the east is from the west. If you start walking east right now, you will end up back here, well, if you're not dead through the travel. If you started walking east right now, you would end up right back where I am, still going east. You get it? That's not accident. He said it that way. I stand here with the worship today because he honors, values, and accepts me, though I don't deserve it. He forgives me, though I'm unforgivable. He loves me, though I'm unlovable. He owes me nothing, yet gives me everything. I don't tithe because I'm blessed and I have overflow. I tithe because the promises of God are yes and amen. On my checks, the guys who count the offering, I'm assuming they've always wondered why I have written in the little memo thing. I always write, and nobody's ever asked me, but I'm sure they probably wonder, man, he can't spell very good. Because I put T-B-O-Y-G. 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 It means tithe. Because of your greatness. I tithe because of his greatness. I don't tithe to obey. I don't tithe out of guilt or condemnation. I tithe because I recognize that he's all that and I'm not. That he's everything, that he's everything that could ever happen. And by the way, just so you know, we are blessed. You're blessed tithing or not. You know you are. Isn't it relative? I could show you pictures of kids in India and you'd recognize it, wouldn't you? So I'm going to ask the ushers to come. I'll ask the musicians to come back. The reason I'm asking for the musicians to come back, because this is, in my opinion, the highest form of worship, because this is my physical ability to say, Jesus, you are greatness personified. You are everything that I could ever want or imagine. You can come up if you'd like. So let me pray this. Father, I just pray that a light came on to us, that we have a deeper understanding now of why this is done. God, I just come against all the junk that has been taught about giving X amount to get X amount and the multiplication and the sowing and reaping. Those are great principles. I get it. But it's got nothing to do with the greatness of who you are. And I stand here today and I will always give my tithe to show the greatness of who you are in my life and in my family's life and our church's life. I just love you for that. And I thank you for that.
Amen. Now you're going to get a letter about Miracle Sunday.
Take no money.
And in that letter, I just want to encourage you to come Sunday, Miracle Sunday. We're already seeing miracles. So many times people are turned off when you hear about giving money. You need to know about money so that you open up the line of gratitude, so that you are not holding back anything, loving it more than him. But some people say, oh, that church must be in trouble. Steve preaches on tithe every year at this time. We don't teach on it all the time. But if this church is in trouble and if this church is in need, it's because you're in need. Let's don't be in need today. Let's be in agreement and gratitude. Amen.